Hi, everyone, and welcome to Hot Off the Mess, a podcast brought to you by The Dip. I am your host, Samantha Bush. How is everyone doing? I mean, I live in Michigan right now. The sun is shining. I have turned my heat off. I refuse to turn it back on. I can't do winter anymore. I can't do the cold. The other day, it was like cold and rainy, and I literally almost started crying. I was like, I just can't do this. But lately it's been kind of sunny, and I really hate to start this podcast off with talking about weather, but when you don't see sunlight ever and your skin literally hasn't felt it, well, that's not true. I did go to Mexico, but other than that, you guys, you know what I'm saying. But okay, we are going to talk about The Dropout today because I can't fucking stop talking about it. I can't stop watching it. I can't stop talking about it. I bring it up in every single conversation. So I will definitely be carrying this for sure over to thedip.com and our community post. So definitely go check that out when you're done listening to this and use code GWAC for 90% off. And of course, I mean, celebrate a female-founded company. This is Women's Month after all. So definitely go check that out. But before we get into The Dropout, I just want to like talk about some things. Okay, so I'm in a wedding coming up, and it's like this beautiful, like champagne, like silky dress. Okay, now I'm very lucky. She picked beautiful dresses for us. We got to pick our own style, blah, blah, blah. But guys, I need shapewear. Like, I need something to cinch my fucking ass because I tried this dress on, and my scoliosis said, we're making a great entrance. I look insane. It looks beautiful on like the top half, but my bottom half, my body is like the squiggly little guy from like Monsters, Inc., Randall. I don't know. Why am I sharing this? I don't know. I don't know why I have this written down as something to talk about, but I felt like you guys probably have good recommendations because I kind of don't know where to begin. I'm a little overwhelmed. Like I went on Skims and I was like, I don't know what kind of shapewear to get. Like, do people buy Skims? Because the reviews were questionable. But then of course, you know, my Kimmy, I was like, maybe people just really hate Kim and they want to like flood her company with negative reviews. I don't know. But please guys, slide in my DMs, harass me. I need to know about shapewear, like where, what to do. Also, I have a qualm. I was notified yesterday by a lovely follower, Erica, who is just amazing. And she sent me this article by Glamour. Now, she showed it to me and she was like, hey, girl, like it almost felt like when someone, like when a girl is sending you a message that your boyfriend is cheating on you and they're like, hey, girly. So, like, that's how I felt like it started. And she sent me the screenshot. And now, listen, if you don't credit me for things, it is annoying, but I don't care that much. Like, it doesn't, like, ruin my day. Like, whatever. It honestly, the internet, it is what it is. But Glamour Magazine based an entire article around a meme that I created and that I posted. And they credit it to the wrong person. And I was like, excuse me? That's annoying to me. Especially when you're like working for like a big publication like Glamour and like you can't even get it right. Like, and I love the account that they gave the credit to, but they were not the original creators of this meme. I was, and I tagged the author of the article in my Instagram stories yesterday. And she just responded with hearts. I was like, no, girly. I think you're like missing the point. Like you credit it wrong. I'm not giving you a shout out because I love the article. Because the article was about, oh yeah, I probably should specify, about that Revolve model that like is literally the internet's model. Like she's everywhere. You cannot go on a online shopping site and not see her. Like if you know, you know. So it was all about her. And right up top, they like talk about this meme. And I'm like, yeah, babes, that was mine. Thank you, Glamour, for the non-shout out. Like, that shit just, it's like when someone like that big, like Glamour, like in an article can get it wrong, you're just like, what? Like, it's not hard to figure out. I don't know. Just annoying. because the people that they shouted out, I love Comments by Bravo. They're great. And I think that they credited me. So it's just weird that, I don't know, doesn't matter. Moving on. It's just, you know, it's just one of those things where you're just like, really, guys? Really? Like, come on. Because like I said, the whole article was literally based off of the beginning of that meme. And it just, it's like, and you just couldn't get that right. I think if you're like not in like the social media world, it's hard to explain this kind of stuff to people that like aren't involved. Like currently I'm like dating someone, Frenchie, who I've talked about on this podcast before. And he like barely has Instagram. He didn't know that Ben Affleck and J-Lo were dating slash ever dated. He also didn't know who Lizzo was. I brought up City Girls yesterday. He looked at me like I was insane. This man is so, I literally looked at him. I was like, what is that like? Like to not have your brain just like be filled with the fucking hot garbage. like I go, you are so pure. Like you just, you're like, what? And like I'll talk about stuff and he just looks at me. He's like, I don't know what that is or who that is. Or he's like, Sam, like, you know, I don't know celebrities. I'm like, I feel like I should create like a get to know celeb handbook for him. Like I want him to sit down and like just be like, this is who I'm talking about. Like I have to be able to talk about this with the person I'm dating. And like I need him to know the basics. You know what I mean? I need him to know about Britney's conservatorship. I need him to know about Real Housewives. He doesn't need to know the players, but he needs to know the game. You know what I'm saying? And when he looked me dead ass in the face and I said, oh my God, Ben and J-Lo. And he goes, wait, they dated? And I'm like, yeah. Ben and J-Lo are truly the reason where I became, like how I became obsessed with celebrity culture as a kid. Like as a child, I was walking to school with my daycare group. I mean, I specifically remember talking and to a friend, a little friend of mine about them. And I remember her being like, can we talk about like something else? We are 8 years old. Why are we talking about the diamond that Ben Affleck got J-Lo? And the look away, the famous look away where she's in that sagey, really pretty, like off the shoulder dress. And he's like kissing her, but he's like looking away. And then that's the picture that they put on all the magazines when they broke up. Like, I need him to know the basics. I need him to know about Brad and Angie and Jen. You know, I need him to know. Yeah, I mean, where to begin? I think we should create a handbook for boyfriends just to give them a quick little education, a little lesson. Because here's the thing. I have to hear about sports. I have to look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers flag. Now, that's great. I love a man with a hobby. I will admit, when I first met him, I did expect him to not like sports. Now, that was me stereotyping. Yes, it probably was. Because I thought, oh, this artsy French boy is not going to like sports. This sounds amazing. Lo and behold, I think he wept when Tom Brady like unretired. Like, think like it's very it really rocked my world. I was not ready for that. But I'm really rambling. It just feels kind of good to be like back chatting. So, let me know about this handbook. Because now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, wait, this could be like a really, really great idea, you know? And you like insert it with the things that are important to you. And I mean, boyfriends can use it for girlfriends, you know? Give me a book about with Tom Brady in it and the Formula One people. And I'll look at it. That way I kind of know. I like knowing a face to a name. Yeah, wow. That really, I mean, I took so many twists and turns. Really quick. Luann de Lesseps, our queen, our countess, was kicked out of a gay piano bar in New York City. And, you know, we did watch her sober journey on the last season of New York. And that was lovely. And I support her. And I want her to be healthy and okay. But there was always a part of me that kind of thought, I don't know how sober she is. And that, I mean, that's just my truth. I mean, Andy Cohen even said it at a reunion once. He was like, yeah, the last time I saw her, she was kind of kind of, you know, out of it. Like people, like this is like very, these are known things. So, you know, we wish her the best. I need Real Housewives of New York City to begin filming. I have rumors that they're going to start filming in August, which is really exciting. Hopefully Dorinda will be back. I did actually text Dorinda Bentley and I just let her know. I was like, girl, we need you back. And she was like, I'm working on it. I'm like, great. So yeah, let's just put all the good vibes out there for Dorinda Medley to come back and for Lou to, you know, find peace. Okay, I have another issue. I have lots of issues this week. I'm taking issue with a lot of people. Okay, Rachel Zegler is the breakout star of West Side Story, which is an Oscar-nominated film, okay? Everybody loves this movie. Everybody can't stop talking about it. Everybody loves the remake. I mean, I don't fuck with Ansel Elgort or the fuck his name is. He is a demon from hell, and there's so many bad stories about him, and that's a whole other issue for another time. So I'm just going to pretend that, like, he doesn't exist. But she had posted about not being invited to the Oscars. And she says, she's like, I don't know, y'all. I have tried, but it doesn't seem to be happening. And I guess she's currently filming another movie. But, like, how does that happen? Like, how are you a star of a movie and, like, you're not going to the Oscars? Randall Emmett was at the Oscars, I believe, when he worked on the fucking longest movie in history, The Irishman. God, do you remember that? That was that movie. I swear to God, it's the longest movie of all time. And it's like, I don't know how he hitched his wagon to that. Like, he's awful. He's so awful. And, you know, there are rumors that Lala is getting a spinoff, which, I mean, to be honest, I would watch the shit out of it. Truthfully, I think she's a reality star. And I want to see her with, you know, the gang. I do. I'd like to see it. But the reason why we're all here today, truly, is to discuss The Dropout. And it's on Hulu. I don't know if I said that. Starring Amanda Seyfried. And she is portraying Elizabeth Holmes, the founder, CEO of Theranos. If you guys aren't familiar with the story, I buckle the fuck up because it is wild, okay? There's only been 5 episodes. I think there's going to be 8 total. So, like, I might be covering it on this podcast because I can't get enough of it. Okay, Elizabeth Holmes is an awful person. She is someone who, like, is incredibly smart. She got into Stanford. She always had hopes of changing the world, and she wanted to be an inventor, and she, like, idolized Steve Jobs, like, was obsessed with, like, and she was kind of coming up when, like, Facebook was coming up and Twitter, like, all of those people, and she, wow. I mean, Amanda is giving it all in this series. Like, she is truly giving us sociopathic, bulging eyes, the voice change. Like, okay, Elizabeth Holmes started Theranos. So when she was a sophomore in college, she dropped out, hence the name The Dropout. She dropped out of Stanford to begin this career, and she was getting investors. I mean, people were investing millions of dollars on a lie. This woman convinced people that her product worked. Think about that. So what her idea was, okay, call me crazy, but I feel like this is a really great idea if it could work. I don't know anything about the human body. The other day, I literally was like, I don't know if I can even, I don't even think I have a heartbeat. I couldn't even feel my own heart. There was a point in time where I didn't know the rib cage went all the way up. I thought it was strictly just, I don't know. I know nothing, okay? I'm not an intellectual, and I will never, ever pretend to be. Now, so her idea was she wanted to be able to test the blood without, like, vials and needles and just, like, insert this like cartridge with like your drop of blood into this machine, and then it would read it and like tell you like if you have sepsis, if you have, you know, this going on, if you have breast cancer, or if you have like blah, blah, blah. Okay. Genius. Love that idea. You can do it at home. That was the whole premise. She's like, I want people to be in charge of their own health. And the basis of her idea was a good one. Like, she genuinely wanted to help people in the beginning. Of course, she wanted to be a billionaire. She did say that multiple times, but she also really did want to help. And then she got a bunch of people on board. She got, like I said, investors, and they were working, working, working. And they did get it to work one time in the show. Now, this is the show. I don't know about real life. I'm strictly talking about The Dropout because, like I said, I can't stop talking about it. I need everyone to watch it. I need to talk about, I will bring it up in casual conversation. Like, I, you know, my parents were talking about, you know, the common cold. And I said, you know, who could have fought the common cold or wanted to is Elizabeth Holmes. Her. You know, like, I can't stop. I see a black turtleneck and I go, Elizabeth Holmes. Lizzie, as Chris Lewis calls her, he's also obsessed, which, you know, that when Chris gets obsessed with things, his Instagram is hilarious. And he keeps calling her Lizzie. And I can't stop laughing at it because it's so fucking ridiculous. And just picturing this calling this deranged woman Lizzie is just, it's kind of everything to me, honestly. So I will be adopting the name, but it did come from Chris Lewis first. So see glamour, it's easy to credit people where credit is due. Anyways, she brings these people on board. It worked once. And I must say, like, she's a very awkward gal. The dancing is awkward. She sleeps in a sleeping bag in her office on the couch. There's ants. Like, the building is not great. But she doesn't care. She's like, I just want to get this done. But the thing is like, she needed money from investors to keep trying the testing. But then, it all was this big, like, cycle, okay? This woman somehow finagles her way into getting a meeting with this like Novartis company. Now, I don't really know what Novartis is. You guys, again, this is not an educational podcast. She faked the prototype. She took the one time that it worked and somehow got someone to like log into a computer, do, beep, 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 and like got it to look like it really worked in front of all of these investors and got $165 million. Kind of iconic. I'm not gonna lie. That's kind of like the fact that like she can just like straight up look people dead ass in the face and just lie to them and tell all of these different lies and keep them all straight. I'm just like, how? It's nuts. It's nuts. And then, you know, then she's got this boyfriend who no one knew who was her boyfriend. His name is Sonny Balwani, and he's like 19 years older than her. And she kept him a secret and then brought him on as COO of the company to try to get the investors to not, like, to get the board to not vote her out because they were like, you are losing it. You're fucking losing your mind. You're spending all this money. It's not even working. And you're testing on like terminal cancer patients. Like the woman was doing some fucked up shit. But I'm telling you guys, when she decides to change her voice, I screamed. She talks like a normal person, but then she decides when she wants to change her entire like look and vibe, because before it was like very messy, messy buns, no makeup, like sloppy Joe. She was a sloppy Joe. She all of a sudden decides she's going to be Steve Jobs. And she starts wearing all black. She wears black turtlenecks, black blazer, black trousers, black shoes, red lip. It's like, look her up. Every single photo of her has like this like burgundy red lip. And she starts talking like this. I'm not joking. She talks like the Batman. She changes her entire voice. It's unhinged. And then just like the looks that she gives, she also, oh guys, it's so good. And the green juice, wait till you get to the green juice scene of her in a Patagonia vest dancing to How to Love by Lil Wayne. Buckle the fuck up. When she is dancing with that green juice and singing How to Love by Lil Wayne, it will transfer you back in time. If you are a millennial such as me in your almost 30, late 20s, that song, woo, it will take you back. And it's just very awkward and cringe, and I can't get enough. So, I mean, if that unhinged rambling about this show doesn't get you to watch it, I don't know what will, to be honest. You all need to watch. It's kind of like, and just like that, where it's not like really good television. Like, you're not watching something that's like amazing, okay? But it's like, it keeps your attention. And you're just like, what the fuck's going on? I'm waiting for Elizabeth Holmes to look at Sunny and be like, I'm craving me some Che. Like, that is what I'm waiting for. And I need a moment like that. I need her to get fingered in a kitchen. Like, I need some unhinged shit like that. I mean, it's bad. It's getting worse. Obviously, as like time goes on, because like she is, I think, on trial or awaiting sentencing. So, woo, Lizzie Holmes. She's a gal. She's quite a girl. And during Women's History Month. Is it Women's History Month or Women's Month? Either way, we're celebrating women all day, every day, 365 days a year. Or as Portia says, it was like 265 days a year. And speaking of Real Housewives of Atlanta, I mean, we have to talk about the fact that I need this trailer. I need it immediately. We have been so patient. We have seen them filming. We have heard the casting. I need the trailer. I need the season immediately. And truthfully, I need you all to watch a little show called Candy and the Gang. Candy Burris is one of the four pillars of Bravo TV, in my opinion, okay? You all can dispute that until the cows come home. I don't care. I will disagree with you for eternity. This woman has been on television for a long time. She is a bad bitch. Everything Candy touches turns to gold. I'm not fucking kidding. She is a business maven. She took a demonic rumor that her close friends and castmates spread about her and turned it into a play that Tyler Perry raved about called The Dungeon Tour. Well, and A Mother's Love. There was A Mother's Love. Let's not forget. She also took Mama Joyce hating her husband into a play called A Mother's Love. But then there was also The Dungeon. Now, Candy and the Gang, I mean, it's funny. It's like Vanderpump Rules, but takes place at Old Lady Gang, which is her restaurant in Atlanta. And the characters on this show, I mean, we got Philip, who is the new hire to kind of come in and, like, you know, make everybody act right because people were kind of taking advantage of Candy and Todd's kindness, if you will. And Philip comes in and he's like, guys, what the fuck? And granted, his delivery most of the time is not ideal. He is, you know, harsh, I'll say. He has no patience. And I don't think he has very good people skills, but he knows what the fuck to do because he cares. He's passionate. He wants this business to succeed. And while, yes, it is successful, you know, there's always room for improvements. And I mean, the decor at Old Lady Gang is not good. Not good. They have a wall that, I mean, the people that work there, I think they called it the funeral wall. And it's like supposed to be like really flowery and have OLG and flowers, but it's like off center. And like, it looks like it was like made at Joann Fabrics. It's really, I need to have word with Miss Burris about that because it's not good. But then we have like all these other people. We have Brian, who's like dealing with his sobriety. He, you know, he's coming out of a really dark time and he's, you know, he's coming back to work and there's a lot of stress around that and dealing with Philip. And, you know, just, guys, it's a good show. It's really not Vanderpump Rules level of like, oh my God, the drama. But I do love some workplace tension. If you've ever worked in a restaurant, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's pure joy. Yeah, so I highly recommend watching Candy and the Gang. And oh, wait till you get your ears on the theme song. She sings the words mac and cheese, and it's like a sonnet. It's like Beethoven's symphony. It's truly like this woman is a lyrical genius. God bless her. Die for Candy. All right. Guys, it was kind of a short little episode today, a little teaser, if you will, a little taste before we get to obviously Big Bravo Friday, because this episode of Summer House that's airing on Monday or airs, okay, this episode of Summer House that airs this week is wild. And we're not ready for it. We're not ready for it. I might dedicate an entire hour just breaking down every single frame of Summer House. So buckle up for that. It's coming. And I'm going to have some exciting guests coming up. We're doing some amazing things over the dip with AMAs featuring some of your favorite Bravo Lebs, which is all exciting. Of course, like I said in the intro, please use code GWOC to get 90% off the dip and celebrate a nice female-founded company. So I will see you guys all on Instagram. Follow me at Bravo Historian and at Take Your Zoloft on Twitter for more unhinged thoughts. And I will see you guys in a few days. Bye.